Sam Ryan is here from the. Yeah, she is one of the co. Are you? You're an organizer. What's your title at Sandpoint Pride?
I've changed every year, but this year I was the community and programs coordinator. Something along those lines.
You guys were here. You and Andrea Marcaccio were here right before the Pride Festival in July, and we will kind of look back at how it went and what's going on in the future. But first, some important radio station type business. We will talk about the weather a little bit. It is currently, hold on, where's my thermometer? Downtown, it is currently 52.5 degrees outside.
Fall is coming.
I know, yeah. But it is supposed to get up to 75 today, and it is going to be sunny. Overnight low of about 46 degrees, but clear, and tomorrow is sunny with a high of 84 on the Friday before Labor Day. 47 overnight on Friday night. All weekend long, it looks like clear, sunny weather. High of 88 on Saturday, 91 on Sunday.
Wow.
And on Labor Day itself, a high of 91. There may be some clouds rolling in on Labor Day. We have a mostly sunny instead of just a perfect sunny on Labor Day, according to the National Weather Service.
And because it's North Idaho, don't trust the weather. Just look outside, because who knows? It could also be raining in 50.
Things can change. Yes, there is a chance of showers on Monday night and Tuesday, it looks like. But yeah, the highs in the 80s for the for the weekend and then into next week, and in the low 90s on Sunday and Monday.
Whew.
Yeah.
Hot again.
It is.
I pulled out my pants and everything.
I know. I'm wearing, I too am wearing long pants. I'm not wearing this? Shorts for the first time in quite a while. Gosh, what else can we talk about? How was your weekend?
This day in music history.
We'll get to that. Okay, we'll get to that. Let's see. It's Thursday, so Labor Day weekend is coming up. Do you have big plans for the holiday weekend?
Gosh, holiday weekend. I usually try to avoid Sandpoint on holidays.
Yeah.
As best I can. I want to get in one more camp trip. A girlfriend of mine has been trying to go out on her boat and get out to the Monarchs with our kids and camp out there. So maybe I'll try to convince her for that this weekend. We've been scouting good beaches out there. And if it's warm, I mean, it's the best day. The lake is getting cold, though. I mean, that is for dang sure.
But it's a little chillier to jump in.
Yeah.
But
if it's hot out, I mean, I'm for it.
Yeah.
My daughter's a total fish. So.
I went swimming last weekend. It's fine.
Great. We'll do that.
It's
doable. Get away from the humans.
And we may see you out there. Oh, there's talk of going over to the Monarchs, too.
Oh, we'll see you out there, maybe.
It's a great spot to, yes.
It is. It's just far enough.
It is. Anyway, so there you go. There's my plans. On Friday night, Alexa Wildish and Lennon Vandergoes are playing at the Heartwood Center. We'll do the whole current events calendar later on in the show, but they just played for us on Tuesday night.
And Jack, I just saw them in Spokane on Sunday night at the Arbor Creek Winery. God, the voices on those two. You will not want to miss this show. It's going to be outdoors at the Heartwood, which is going to be really precious.
I've never seen that before.
I've had one. And it was actually a male-female duet, too, duo. But yeah, Alexa and Lennon were on The Voice, and their voices are out of this world.
Yep. It's really something to see and to hear. And I think Queen Bonobo opening for them or playing as well. I'm not sure. And what else? You went to the Arbor Crest Winery. I've never been there.
Arbor Crest. Thank you.
Right? Is that right?
Creek Crest? I don't know. It's
okay.
Way up. It's probably on the crest. It's not on a creek. I would say crest. It's way up there. As Jack coughs his brains.
Yeah. Try not to make me laugh. I'm still laughing. Getting over this cold.
Laughing is the trigger.
I think I missed. I missed the morning show like 3 weeks ago when I first came down with it. And I'm still hacking.
Okay, I'll be really serious and I won't say anything funny.
Thank you.
Arbor Crest was above Spokane, which is how I like cities from afar.
Yes.
To see the city at night, first off, stunning. The venue itself, it's like you're in an enchanted forest fairyland. You go through these like vine-covered stone buildings and you end up It's kind of crazy. I've never experienced something like that. And then we just walked in, and at 5:30, Alexa and Lennon were already playing. And that's such a respectful time to listen to music because we were in bed by 9 and it was an hour and a half away. It was just
a respectful time for music.
Oh, yes, it was. And I that's like what, that. What time they're playing here as well, which I, as a mother, as a elder millennial, I enjoy that hour.
Absolutely. So that's on Friday here in this little town, yes. And we're lucky to have them before they, then I think that's the end of their kind of tour, and you won't be able to see Alexa and Lennon playing together again until like October in Colorado, if you really want to.
Too far.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So that was last weekend. That's this weekend. Let's look back even further. Shall we?
1990, the year I was born, Jack.
Okay. We do you
Okay.
Stop that.
Smokes.
Okay. excuse me. I apologize to our listeners for this cough that I just can't shake. Let's talk a little bit before we play any music. Let's talk about, I guess, the Sandpoint Pride Festival that just occurred. In July, a little more than a month ago, was the third, fourth annual.
It was our fourth.
I thought it was the fourth.
It was our fourth.
Didn't want to. Yeah. Okay. It was the fourth annual Sandpoint Pride. Every year has been just a little bit different. Kind of refining, making changes that always seem to be at least, for the better, I would say.
Yeah.
How long have you been involved in the Pride Festival?
With love and support from afar since the beginning, but it always, the weekend always coincides with a bike race I've been doing since 2017. There's a bike race I've done in Seattle, and for the first two, it was on that same weekend, which was such a bummer. But the third one, I was going to be in town, and so I did jump in and I did all the volunteer coordination, which was amazing. I love people. Especially Volunteers for Pride just brought out a really exceptional element of our community. So that was really enjoyable. And then this year, I had a little bit less bandwidth and we had a bigger team. So I was able to pivot towards our community advocacy partners and programming, which is kind of a sweet spot for me. I've designed program in various capacities, from anti-bullying programming in schools. I now do mountain bike festivals and I do a lot of the programming for that. So it was a nice pivot, and we were able to structure a really rad Friday, which was a new addition for us. We rented out the Heartwood and had community conversations on Friday, which I can dive a little bit more into just how incredibly special that was.
Yeah. Go on, finish your thought.
That thought was that, this being our fourth year, there were a lot of changes. I think I heard from so many people that came this year that just said, wow, this really, it was to the next level. And I think there were quite a few things that were visibly really different, right? We rented a big stage versus just having it in the greenery underneath the grain silo right there in the center of Matchwood Evans Brothers parking lot. So the stage was really big and prominent, which was so fantastic for the drag show, for the drag queens, for the music performers. And then we just had a lot of advocacy partners. So that whole greenery area from Evans Brothers, on Church Street all the way up to Oak Street by Matchwood was full of really engaging booths and a variety of booths. And I think what I heard from folks was just, it felt much bigger. And while it wasn't exactly, that much bigger, it definitely had a substantial. We were a real damn festival this year, Jack. Like we were a real, real festival.
It did. Yes, it did. It felt very careful. I was there. It felt very cool. I like the stage arrangement as well. Putting the music over there. It was a hot afternoon. And
was it ever?
Was it the bass player who was standing in the sun the whole time? What a trooper.
Oh,
I don't know. For thrown out bones.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe the might have been Paz, the horn player. But just
of Neon
did a great job. Or Knights of Neon.
Knights
you're right
Neon.
Thrown out bones. I'm sorry.
It was hot as snot, and we attempted to kind of bring that down with more shade venue or shade structures than before.
I guess I was just The stage was the part that looked hot to me. I was fine under the care of White Tent.
Good.
And you had the misters and everything. You know, it kind of occurs to me right now that some people might not know what we're talking about. We might be talking about like Sandpoint Pride, as in like town pride, or you know, a boosterism or something like that. But we're talking about the festival to support the terms, or the letters you use are LGBTQ.
2I+.
2I+, mm-hmm. Yes. Which we didn't talk about when you were on the radio last time, but the 2I+ is interesting because it relates to, I think, kind of a Native American, Native American history with the LGBTQ people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I2S, sorry.
Or
I flipped those because I'm...
Oh, yes. I too.
I too. Intersex, yeah. 2S.
Yeah.
Two-spirit. Yeah. Yeah, the 2S is an honoring, an acknowledgement of the fact that, you know, this identity, these identities of having both the masculine and the feminine, the male and the female inside of us is not new. Mm-hmm. It's been around since humanity, really, and our indigenous ancestors, mm-hmm. not my indigenous ancestors, but those that have existed on this earth far, far before us, white people, mm-hmm. Yeah, that has always been an acknowledgement that folks exist with those two spirits inside of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it, I don't know. Do you get any, it seems like less and less kind of negative reaction to it every year.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, like, that's so awesome to hear. And definitely mm-hmm. what we experience. So, you know, to Jack's point, like, what are we talking about? And each mm-hmm. year we put on this really large pride festival in Sandpoint. This is the fourth year. And really, yeah, I think last year we had over 1600 folks come through. I think this year, I want to say it was around 2,200 folks that came through over the 2 days. Again, we kind of just gauge that based on wristbands, so it's not an exact science, but mm-hmm. but we had so many folks come through, and because we are on private property, we do it at the Granary District, and we are able to really put parameters around that space and hold a really safe container for folks to be able to, who come in, are affirming, supportive, a part of the community, and allies, and it creates a pretty safe zone in there. We only had a couple, you know, folks on the outside trying to hand out pamphlets and, mm-hmm. you know, with, you know, religious intent and things like that. And we experienced a little bit of protesters at the farmer's market, because we did do a bike ride in the morning.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of, mm-hmm. protesting there, but really, really minimal. Like, I'll say 4 folks out of like maybe 2,200 people that came through in support. So small, I don't want to take up any more time talking about it, but really, yeah, it was a special experience. And then inside of the festival itself, there's music, there's face painting and bounce houses, there's vendors there, with a lot of education, a lot of, you know, everything from like fostering Idaho. Like, there's this myth that they're trying to dispel that if you're a gay individual, you can't be a foster parent, when in reality, mm-hmm. so many foster youth are in the LGBTQ community because they've been disowned by their families, and the need is so strong. So there was this wonderful opportunity to be educated about things like the foster needs in our state, as well as like ACLU Idaho was there to talk to us about the recent legislative session and how, you know, LGBTQ youth are really there is so much legislation being put into school age youth that is really damaging and frightening. Under 18, folks have to receive permission from their parents to mm-hmm. go to the doctor now, which is, it really puts the LGBTQ youth in danger, because if that's not a safe home, then that's, anyways, there was a lot of information that was brought out by both Legal Voice, ACLU, so many advocacy partners there to just help mm-hmm. people understand what resources are available, and then just a lot of fun as well, you know, the music mm-hmm. and the dancing and the face painting and the joy, which was really trying to balance both the, get all the information you need so we can be informed, especially in an election year, and then also let's celebrate being queer and being here and being safe and having a sense of belonging in this sacred, beautiful town of Sandpoint, Idaho.
Yeah. The Friday I guess not a show, but the Friday
community conversations.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it was billed, the community conversations on Friday.
Yeah, that kicked us off.
And you've never done that before, not in that form exactly.
Never in that form. Mm-hmm. And what we heard from, I mean, we had over 15 advocacy partners there, mm-hmm. from Spokane, but all the way down from Boise, from Seattle. We had a really large array of advocacy partners, and the feedback we got from them, and they attend Pride events around the country, was that they had never experienced that either. Mm-hmm. And that was really special. So the invitation was for those folks to come and bring people from their organizations that they wanted to primarily be in a listening role, to hear from our community, what are the needs, what exists here, so we can share resources that do exist, and then what are the gaps? Because Sandpoint Pride is not just one-time festival. Our goal is to become a year-round organization, to be able to implement programming here that allows educational opportunities for our doctors, for our realtors, for a lot of people in the professional setting working with our community to know, how are you a safe and affirming individual business? How do you, we're not going to be perfect with our language. We're going to mess it up. We're going to, you know, mess up pronouns or the acronym, you know, and that's okay. But how do we learn enough so that we can say, I might not know it all, I might not get it right, but I am a safe and affirming individual. Because that's important, that we know who those doctors are and what doctors truly do we need to avoid that are not safe, that are going to have, you know, a negative experience or provide a negative experience for somebody inside the community. So that community conversation, we broke it up into four categories between housing, elder care, youth and parent support services, and healthcare. And those were the four categories. And it was an hour kind of circle-based conversation where everybody was able to equally share the talking stick. We legitimately had talking sticks to really try to make sure everybody could speak. Mm-hmm. And the invitation was, you know, our queer individuals to speak first, our allies to speak second, and our community partners to speak third. And that structure really brought forward the queer voices in the room, which was the hope. Mm-hmm. And what we heard from our community partners, because that's where I collected feedback from post-event, was they were so grateful to be able to really listen. And then when the opportunity came to say, oh, you know, we are an organization out of Spokane. We emphasize what is safe housing, and this is how we do it. And us as organizers and other people in the conversations to just hear like, whoa, okay, that's an area that we can expand, or let's bring that individual back up to have a conversation another time, you know, to do a deeper dive into housing here and why the housing shortage is impacting everybody, but especially the LGBTQ community. Mm. And that existed, that conversation was like 4 to 6. We did 2 different breakouts, and then we came back together and there was a report out. We collected really thorough notes from every group. And then we as an organization have compiled all of that, all of those notes. And it is pages and pages and pages and pages between affirming and safe doctors in the area, great therapists, therapists to avoid, churches that are supportive, churches that aren't supportive. There was so much shared. Oh, it was just like a wealth of information shared. And also some heartbreaking stories. You know, there was a lot of tissues being passed around, and so much safety built in that room. Oh, it was so beautiful, Jack. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. It was so, so awesome.
Yeah. A repeat then, we would think. You're going to do the same thing next year?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And do more outreach. So we really tried to do intentional invitations to some doctors, some realtors, some housing professionals, property managers. We did a lot of intentional outreach and came up pretty flat, just to call in some of those folks if they're listening, came up pretty flat. And I know there's bandwidth and there's summer and there's vacations and there's so many reasons why folks weren't able to attend. But our hope next year is many more doctors in that room. Mm. Actual local professionals that engage with our community on a day-to-day basis. And if you only exist inside of a heteronormative world, there's so much learning that can be done. And my hope also is to expand that as to being a CEU opportunity. So those professionals actually have you know, credits, ongoing education credits that they have to take, nurses, doctors, therapists, and that Sandpoint Pride can eventually become registered as an entity that provides continuing education units. That's kind of my big dream for next year, because I think that then we would get those professionals in the room that instead of taking some generic online course just to get the CEUs done, they could actually come in, hear directly from our community what, you know, what the needs are, what it feels like to walk into a doctor's office and even just see my pronouns are he, him on a button, and what a tiny, small, easy, low-hanging fruit that might be to give somebody in that room whose pronouns might be they, them, or don't align with their gender identity or their presentation. It does align with their gender identity, but maybe not their presentation. The comfort that that could give that individual to walk into a doctor's office with a straight white presenting male to see pronoun pin. A pronoun pin could be the difference between having so many, you know, so much fear and barriers up to just those shoulders softening of like, okay,
yeah,
I can talk openly here. So that's my hope.
We're going to talk more about kind of the future of Pride and what else is what else the organization, I guess, is going to be up to in the coming year. But let's take a little musical break. We could play that in 1990. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
1990 on this day. It's sort of a. What kind of note this is, but it, on this day in music history, it was in 1990 that Elton John checked into rehab.
Because?
Let me pull that up. Where was it? He checked into rehab to receive treatment for bulimia, alcoholism, and drugs in a rehab center in Chicago, Illinois.
Queer icon, Elton John.
Absolutely. That he caught our eye when we were kind of looking through the... Yes.
And mental health is huge.
It is.
And taking care of yourself and getting support. I hope that he went to a queer affirming rehab center.
he went and got help. And yes, that's important. We could play.
Hold me close, young tiny dancer.
Well, I can't play that now. He couldn't top it. I could play. I was looking for something a little less. We play something off Yellow Brick Road, maybe. Okay, I'll play. No,
go with your gut, Jack. I trust your intuition.
All right, I'm gonna play something not something you've certainly heard before, but not off Yellow Brick Road. It's something from a later period Elton John from I think the 1980s, one of his last big hits. This is, I guess, that's why they call it the blues. We'll be back in just a minute.
Don't wish it away, don't look at it like it's forever. Between you and me, I could honestly say that things can only get better. Before you and me run to the place in our hearts where we hide, and I guess that's why they call it the blues. Time on my hands could be time spent with you, laughing like children, living like love.
Elton John, with, I guess that's what they call it, the blues. That is, you're listening to The Morning Show, right? Yes, you're on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jake Peterson, and I'm here with Sam Ryan. I've already forgotten your title. I can't believe I didn't write it down. From the Sandpoint Pride Festival, though.
You can call me an organizer because likely...
I think that's what I've
We are a very flexible and ongoing organization that is shifting each year to expand to the needs of our community. We will probably all continue to take on different roles each year. Andrew Marcaccio is our chair, and she also has a thousand other roles, as y'all know. She owns Matchwood and is a political organizer and just does a lot of things in this community. So
she keeps very busy, doesn't she?
Oh, my Lanta, plus two children that take her time as well. So, yeah, she is going to probably continue to forever be a part of Pride, but maybe not always as the chair. So who knows? There will be some shifts. Before we go into it, though, I've been instructed not to make you laugh. And why is that, Jack?
That's because I have this terrible hacking cough. I have somebody in my life who told me that I'm no longer allowed to be sick, that this illness has gone on for too long, and I'm just, at this point, I'm just milking it. So do you have any remedies that I should I'm not gonna open up the phone lines, but if any listeners out there have any great miracle cures for a cough that just won't go away, I'm all ears. Call me after the morning show here at the radio station. We'll
You'll get a lot of. Have you gone to the apothecary, the Tendril apothecary, the local witch?
No.
She's
I haven't.
She's right on Main Street, and she's incredible. She has the Tendril. Every herb. Oh, man.
Okay.
Go I've in and just, she will look at you and she will probably recommend that you go into her salt chamber, which is this room
that is always needed a salt chamber.
It is in the walls are salt. The ground is salt and they are infusing the room with salt. And you sit in there. I sat in there for an hour with my daughter when we both had this horrible cough last winter. Ani just played in the sand, which is salt sand. And our lips get salty. Your skin gets salty. You're breathing in. It's like, it's kind of warm, but it's mostly just like low lights. You know, imagine like Himalayan salt lamp vibes, but like you are in a Himalayan salt lamp. That was pretty cool. And then another thing I do is I do a steam. An inhale steam experience with Olbus is the herb blend. And it's just, it's horribly painful. It's like, you know, spearmint, peppermint, eucalyptus, probably some oregano in there. Anyways, you steam it in with a towel over your head and you breathe and you cough, but it's getting really deep into your lungs. Anyways.
Okay.
Go see the witch.
Olbus. Okay.
Olbus,
witchcraft, and salt. You think maybe I have a salt imbalance?
No, I just think that salt is an antimicrobial and antibacterial element. So when you are getting salt into your nasal passages and into your lungs, it's going to start to fight the bugs.
Sure. Like how nothing lives in the Dead Sea because it's so salty.
Precisely. Or if you went and swam in the ocean a bunch, you would probably get better faster. We don't have an ocean.
No,
we are landlocked.
Really, really don't have an ocean.
How do you feel about that?
I never missed it until now.
Yeah,
but that the smell of the ocean is it's nice. You're right. It does make you feel healthier.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it heals any cuts or scabs or you know anything that you have in your body. Usually, I find like, oh my gosh, I had a cut and it's just. It's gone, Sebastian.
It just went better. Okay.
Pride.
But let's talk about Pride.
Let's
get down back to it.
Yeah.
2024, the official festival's behind us. What there will be one in 2025. And what is, I guess, the next 11 months look like as you go into that?
So we learned a lot from this year. We did some new things, as Jack and I were talking about. We did the community conversations on Friday, which, yes, absolutely want to do that again next year. The Heartwood was a wonderful venue for that. It was so hot outside that we cranked the AC and we actually froze people out, which was funny. Not funny. It was people were like, whoa, it's so cold. It was so hot. It was probably 95 outside.
It was a really hot day.
It was a
hot day. That weekend was...
And we overcompensated, so people brought their jackets.
That's good.
And then that evening we finished with an open mic night that was incredible. I sang... so scary. And so many beautiful humans got up and sang and did poetry. We eventually had to cut it off because I think it was an hour and a half. And we really wanted to leave people wanting more. And we didn't actually cut anybody off. Everybody got to perform that wanted to. We just had to cut off some folks that wanted to go back up.
Yeah.
but really beautiful night. And then we all went to bed, I think, just incredibly, the feedback I got from all of our community partners and folks in the audience was just like cups very, very full. And then we kicked it off Saturday morning with a political conversation that was hard to hear. ACLU and Legal Voice, two brilliant partners of ours. One came from Boise, one came from Seattle. And they talked to us about the recent legislative session and what we need to know about in terms of repo rights, in terms of trans youth and trans folks in general that are definitely on the chopping block with all of the bills that were passed and what we can do about it and how to get support. So that was hard and heavy and really important. And then we shook it off. We did a bike ride. We biked with, I think there was probably 20 or 30 of us, and we biked downtown. We circled City Beach, and then we ended up at the farmer's market, and the reception there was really sweet. We had folks like, I didn't know that was happening today, and folks that came to Pride Fest just because we were at the farmer's market, so they got to learn that that was happening. The marching band,
Peace
and Justice.
Yeah, the P-Jammers. They were cool.
Gosh, I want to remember their acronym. You should look up their acronym. It's
Peace
so great.
And Justice and I'll
so
find
good.
It.
They were there.
The Spokane P-Jammers.
Yeah, the Spokane P-Jammers. They escorted us from the festival back to Matchwood. They actually kicked off the bike ride. That was just such a blast. Definitely learned a lot about the bike ride. You know, we feel the safety inside of our bubble that is the Greenery District for Pride. And I think what we realized with that bike ride was Sandpoint as a whole isn't necessarily the safest community. So just upping our security a little bit. We had some protesters at the farmer's market that were, you know, intimidating. And luckily, the farmer's market had our back and asked them to, you know, take a very, you know, really respect the boundaries of the farmer's market. But that was uncomfortable. I've never actually received such direct hate into my personal bubble quite in the same way.
Yeah.
I won't repeat what they called me, but it was a pretty awful thing. And then on the other side of me, I had the P-Jammers jamming for peace and justice. Yeah. It was such a juxtaposition of like, wow, this is Sandpoint captured in this moment. And then, you know, I don't know how many people, there was probably 50 people from the farmer's market that came to surround us from the protesters and just cheered us on. So that was quite I had a huge explosion of emotion after that experience. That was such a powerful experience. But then we went back into the safety of our Greenery District and kicked off the festival at 2 or 3 with music and poetry and the festival as a whole. So long-winded Sam to say, I think what's going to happen for 2025 is a continuation of what we did this year. There was the day, Saturday flowed so beautifully from music to performances to the drag show to more music to a DJ inside of Matchwood that became a late night club. We did lights and they did, you know, it was phenomenal inside of there. And then as it got past our noise ordinance, we switched over to a silent disco on the patio. And that ended at 12:30 or 1 a.m. So much dancing and much celebration. That was a blast.
Yes. The silent disco is not silent for the participants. Everybody wears headphones. You're synced up. And
it's silent for our neighbors that have houses on Oak Street and Church Street.
Right.
Yes.
Very, very kind.
Yeah.
Yes. Very neighborly. how many people I wasn't there at the tail end of it. How many people stuck around for the whole, what was like the final, when you finally kicked people out?
I think we probably had 50 headsets that got returned, much to people's groaning at like 1 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Because the volunteers that ran that silent disco till 1 a.m., I mean, they were drinking Coke, Coca-Cola, just to try to stay awake. And I looked at them, I said, what time do we schedule you till? And they said, 12:30. And I looked and it was 1. And I said, oh my gosh, we have to cut this off.
Uh-huh.
And everybody, you know, eventually turned in their headsets and went home. But the party would have continued. Folks were just enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much joy.
Hmm. I see that out in the waiting in the wings is somebody from the Panetta Theater. I think it's Brendan Kelty out there.
Fantastic.
We'll bring him in just a minute to tell us about what's coming up this weekend. So I guess we've kind of talked about what we can expect from next year's Pride. Is Pride, do you guys see the organization, Sandpoint Pride, doing anything else throughout the year? Or if continuing to focus mainly on just that one big weekend?
Yeah, so we were really fortunate to be a recipient of an Equinox grant this year. So we have some pretty big, amazing sponsors. They're all listed on our website. And I do encourage y'all to check it out, because when you are figuring out where to spend your dollars in Sandpoint and who to support and what healthcare providers are safe, go on our website, go to sandpointpride.com, because you'll see them all there. And then the Equinox grant that was, we just found out, like, literally Pride weekend, that we were the recipients of a portion of that grant. And that will help us do some year-round programming and building. We want to have monthly open mic nights. I think you'll start to see some game nights at the Senior Center. That's not just for seniors. That's just a really awesome venue.
Right, it's a good spot for
it. It's a really cool space. And they don't do anything past, I think, 5 or 6 p.m. So they've offered us to be able to... do some community building there. So I think you'll start to see some more, you know, check out your local billboards. Follow us on Instagram to know a little bit more about what we're going to be doing. But you'll see some open mic nights. You'll see some game nights. And hopefully we can start to build some more community conversations. That's definitely on the docket. And then we start planning here in the next couple months. We start planning again for our July Pride, because it takes a year to pull it off the way that we want to, with the intentionality and the crafting of the best damn Pride. We've heard from folks, from our friends that have been to a lot of Prides, that we have a pretty special one up here. So we want to keep doing that.
I don't think we're going to have time to play any of the recordings that we made over the air, at least not right now. Probably we'll put those on the website kind of to pair with this, or maybe we'll play them. We'll find some time to play them. But yes, we were careful. I was there. We were able to interview a whole bunch of people, both kind of part of the volunteers and just attendees. And one of the questions that I would ask is, you know, have you been to other Pride festivals? How does this one compare? Everybody was thought that, yes, Sandpoint Pride was really incredible. I don't know. For the size of the town that we have, it's really amazing. And even compared to people had been to Coeur d'Alene, Missoula, Spokane, I think
I'm going to Boise Pride in September.
All right.
15th. So I'll report back. I'm ashamed to say I've never been to Boise, and I just happened to be driving through on my way to Colorado on the 15th. So I'm going to hit that one up, and I'm going to be there by 2 p.m. for the drag show. So I'm excited about that.
Okay. Enjoy the Tree City. I think that's what it's called.
Tree City?
I think so.
Not the Tri-Cities?
No, that's out in
very different
Washington. Yeah. I think Boise is the Tree City. I'll look that one up while we play a little more music and allow our next guest time to get comfortable here. Anything more? You've said a lot about Pride. Is there anything more that needs to be said before we take a break?
And this transition? Isn't me. This is me on decaf coffee too. Imagine if I'd had real caffeine. I say follow us on Instagram.
Okay.
Check out our website to stay abreast of attuned.
Yep.
I could stay abreast.
That's fine. Yeah. That's an appropriate word.
That's a word.
Yeah.
That of what we're about to be doing and what we will be doing in this upcoming year. And if you want to get involved, if you want to be a part of our organizing team, it takes a village, a large community, and to lift it off the ground. So go on the website. You'll find a way to reach out as a volunteer. And then you can also just DM us on Instagram. Emily is the incredible human who responds to all of our Instagram posts. And get involved. We'd love to have some new energy in our team. And then come next July. Okay. It's going to be incredible.
Okay. Next Pride will be sometime in July 2025. I'm guessing dates aren't set yet.
Mid to early July. Yep.
That's the goal. I guess we could say one thing about that is just that is Yeah, there's Pride festivals, the Boise ones in September. There is no...
There's one in Nelson. If it didn't already happen, it's like September or August.
Yeah.
So they're, yeah, Pride
They're usually in like the summer.
June. Yeah, June is Pride month. But what we've discovered is since there's so many of them, if you actually spread it out, that those advocacy partners and folks in general can make it to more.
Right. So. Okay.
And Pride should happen year round.
Well, there you have it. Sam Ryan is an organizer for Sandpoint Pride. You're welcome to stick around. Should we find out what's going on with Brendan and up at the Panada?
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to play this one, which was released on this date in 1987. Or no, I'm sorry. I think it hit number one.
Are we still on Elton John?
No. I could have. Should I play another Elton John?
No.
Elton
Where John were you? Horn? I trust you.
I was going to play this song, which is... Not everybody loves this song.
I love some good controversy.
Okay. But it was a big hit in 1987. You will probably recognize it instantly. It has become... It has gained more notoriety in the internet age than it ever had.
Edge of my seat, Jack.
All right, here we go. Well, you're listening to The Morning Show. We'll be right back with Brendan from the Panada to talk about what's going on this weekend after this. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. That was Rick Astley with Never Gonna Give You Up. It hit number one, I think, in the UK on this date, 1987, and became the biggest selling single of 1987. Won Best British Single at the 1988 Brit Awards, and later became a meme. People would send each other that video instead of sending them a link to the video that you expected to see. And I believe continues to this day. That hilarious internet goof that people play on each other. So, we are now here. Sam Ryan has left the building, and we're now here with Brendan Kelty from the Panada Theater. And so nice to... So nice of you to drop by this morning, Brendan.
It's great to be here.
Let me pull up my current events calendar, and you can tell us, I guess, a little bit about what's coming up next at the Panada down the street from us. What's going on?
Well, you're not going to want to miss Jurassic Park coming up here.
Absolutely not.
The original.
Uh-huh.
And that's part of our $5 movie series coming up. On September 6th. So this weekend, we're pretty quiet. Let people get back to their fall routine and celebrate that last weekend. But the following weekend, Jurassic Park hits on Friday at 7 p.m.
Okay. Are those reading glasses, Brendan, or do you usually wear glasses?
These are reading glasses, which I've...
You got cheaters.
I recently have started to use, Jack. Uh-huh. Thanks for... Letting the listeners know that
right, nobody else can see it.
I've reached that point in life.
Very sophisticated. I have pretty good vision. My dad had pretty good vision too. But once he got, he reached a certain age and he started wearing reading glasses, which he still does to this day.
I was at my my kid's optician.
Yes,
appointment. Well, yeah. Obstetrician.
Optometrist.
There we go.
Yes.
And I was like, "Hey, doc." I was like, "Man, I really just can't see anything." And she's like, "How old are you?" And I said, "How old I was." And she started chuckling. Uh-huh. She's like, "Yeah, that's what happens."
Uh huh. You don't. So do you? You have to hold your phone or your book like really far away, and then look through glasses or something.
Yeah, it's still awkward. I'm getting used to it.
Okay, you'll get there. Anyway, welcome. There's actually this I think the radio station has like two or three pairs that just like float around that people can borrow if they need reading glasses. But okay, we were talking about Jurassic Park. I've seen that movie. It's pretty good.
It never gets old.
No. Yep. That's a good one. I don't think I've ever seen it in the movie theater, though. I would be, I mean, I was old enough when it came out that I could have, but I think I was, I think my parents thought it was too scary or something. I don't think I was allowed to go to that. Or maybe it was just summertime and I didn't go to that movie.
Right. But, well, there's definitely some spots in there that are a little.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A little gory.
Uh-huh. It's a fun one, though. Jurassic Park on September 6th. That's Friday, next Friday.
Next Friday. Okay. Yep.
What else is coming up?
So the following week, the Thursday of the following week, we've got country star Ty Herndon.
Yes.
And so he basically, if you remember from the mid-90s, he was a chart topper.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he had several number ones through the next decade or two.
Yeah. I looked him up just the other day to see what some of his recognizable hits were. And then as soon as I listened to him, I was like, oh, this song. That's right. I wasn't a huge country fan in the 90s, so I don't think I was paying attention. But
right.
He's recognizable. The three number ones he had were What Mattered Most, Living in a Moment, and It Must Be Love.
Yep. Yeah.
And he's got a bunch of other top 10 hits and stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's coming on Thursday the 12th.
Thursday the 12th. And he's also got a really interesting story. He's a lot of mental health journey that he's discussed openly in the public.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first country stars to come out as gay.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014. And so he's just got a lot of unique dynamics going on that make him a pretty complex and interesting person, and storyteller, songwriter as well. So,
okay.
And the opener for him is very cool. Let's say Jackson Rolchkin, sorry if I'm mispronouncing the name, but
okay.
He's an Idaho local. And he produces some really nice music.
Let's find him. I'm gonna look him up too. I always like to add some local when there's a new local musician. Try and find him. Rolchkin. There you go.
Yeah. And sorry, Jackson, if we're butchering your name here, but I do want to give a shout out to your awesome music. So
couldn't be that far off. Yeah, Jackson Rolchkin. Okay, that's exciting. And we will. So they'll be performing on Thursday the 12th.
You got it.
And he's also a country musician, country tinged musician.
You know, I think he's got a touch of that, but you know, if you check his stuff out on Spotify, his latest album, it's got a mix. It's rock, it's jazz, it's storytelling. I couldn't quite put a genre on it, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Got a little pop, but he's a talented singer and an adept guitar player for sure.
Okay. Big, that's a big night on Thursday, September 12th.
No doubt.
Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, kind of, it's that early September, like, weather's still nice, but the tourist season's kind of over. That'd be cool. It's
a perfect time for locals to reclaim their city.
Yes. Come back. You're safe to come back out, hit the streets. There won't be that many. Yeah, that many people from without of state plates parked on First Avenue. That'll be cool.
For sure.
Okay. I know what comes up on the 14th.
Yes, you do.
All we can really say about that one is thanks to Viggo Mortensen. We can't promote it too much because it is sold out and has been for weeks. But on the 14th, Viggo Mortensen presenting his film, The Dead Don't Hurt, as well as a Q&A and a little introduction, and that is a benefit for this radio station and the Panetta Theater itself.
That's right.
To community organizations that he supports and holds dear. I think he was the story somebody said, so it may have been you, that he was on the stage on stage performing at the Panetta when he that he had to bow out of a stage performance at the Panetta when he got the call to go participate in his first big film, which was Witness with Harrison Ford from like 1984
amazing.
Or something like that. Yeah. So he was, that was, but locally connected and now internationally, globally renowned superstar Viggo Mortensen right here on the stage of the panel.
Rightfully so. The man is a star.
Yes.
A stud.
Absolutely.
And generous, too.
Yes. So generous in within this community and to our organizations in particular.
Yeah. How cool is that? I heard a little, you were touching on it a little. So he was looking to take part in local theater production.
I think so.
And how cool is that? That this movie star wants to jump in on a local theater production.
I don't know. Pretty cool. Yeah. But we should have, I hope that we get to talk to him on the air before then. We may or may not. Certainly we can do a little Q&A for those of you at the event and kind of find out a little of his local history. It is known there've been articles written about it, but I'm not personally as familiar as maybe I should be. How much of his, kind of growing young adulthood and youth he spent here. Mm. Okay. So that's the 14th. The big event at the Panada on the 14th. And what else? So you guys added something else sort of recently, right? In September, maybe?
Well, we've got a film that we've recently confirmed.
Yes.
And that one's Across the River and Into the Trees. That's another $5 movie, and that's on the 26th. But before that, of course, we've got another potential Little Live Radio Hour.
Oh, yeah. That'll be on the 24th. We got Hannah Meehan at that'll be at the Little Theater. And that'll be a very good one, actually. I mean, she's a wonderful local singer songwriter, and I don't know who else will get to kind of fill out the rest of the hour, but somebody interesting.
I mean, to listeners, that is one of the greatest events in town. I mean, it's Little Theater, free, excellent musicians, produced by the festival, KRFY, Panada, and broadcast on this channel. So, I mean, it's just it's an awesome opportunity.
I hope. Yeah, I think people are tuning in to that one, and hopefully they continue to. The audience for that continues to grow. Thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, that's coming up on September 24th. We'll do one every month. I think in October. I might be speaking too soon, but I think in October, the Little Panada may be in use for some other purpose. So we might push the October one to early November and then, something like that.
But gotcha.
We'll see. I'm sure we'll talk more about that on the airwaves coming up this weekend outside of the Panada Theater. It is, they're showing The Sandlot on Friday night at In the Park. I think that's the City Parks and Rec department, and you can show up at Pine Street Park for viewing of the movie The Sandlot. The event starts at 5:30 and the movie starts at 7:30. And the Artist's Studio Tour is this weekend. It's Labor Day weekend, and the POAC Artist Studio Tour runs from Friday through Sunday. They have maps over at the POAC offices on Second, and you can go and visit all the a number of local painters, sculptors, photographers, jewelers, potters, glass artists, and more. You can go and see where they actually do their work. It's also Fall Fest up on the mountain at Schweitzer. 4 days of beer tasting and fun, Friday through Monday. And there's music and other local artisans and food trucks and stuff like that. And there will be, you can ride the chairlift. There's family activities, hiking, mountain biking, and more. Grand opening of Sandpoint Ceramics. Don't know much about that, except it's on the Cedar Street Bridge. And the 9th annual Walk for Hope is Sunday, September 1st. It looks like you meet at Dog Beach and then walk across the Long Bridge to promote suicide awareness, hope, and healing for our community. Walk for Hope, sandpoint.org. For more about that as well, we already mentioned at the beginning of the show on Friday, Alexa Wildish and Lennon Vanderdoes are playing at the Heartwood Center outside with Queen Bonobo, and the weather looks perfect. So There's a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I see as the highlights coming up this week.
A lot of talent.
Yeah. Thanks for dropping by, Brandon. It's
always a pleasure, Jack.
It's 9:00. Actually, it's a little after. It's time for Bird Note. And with that, I think we're going to call it. This has been the KRFY Morning Show. Tune in tomorrow for North Idaho News of the Week. Tune in next week, this hour, for it will be September. Oh, there go those glasses. Bang them against the microphone. He's still practicing with those. On Monday, it will be September, and it's time for Medical Musings with Dr. Joanne. Then on Labor Day, and then I don't even know what's coming up next week on the morning show, but surely it will be good. Oh, I think it's the 60th anniversary of the Wilderness Act, and Phil Huff is taking over. Instead of Garden Life, Phil is going to be running a symposium of local outdoor groups. Will be a whole bunch of people have been invited to join us on the airwaves to talk about that on Tuesday morning. So check that out. Okay, that's enough of that. It is time for Bird Note. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY Ponderé, and thanks for listening. We'll be going into Otto's Eclectic Mix right after that. Thanks again, Brandon.
Thank you.
All right.